السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ليجزي الذين أساءوا بما عملوا ويجزي الذين أحسنوا بالحسنى. الذين يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش إلا اللمم، إن ربك واسع المغفرة، هو أعلم بكم إذ أنشأكم من الأرض وإذ أنتم أجنة في بطون أمهاتكم، فلا تزكوا أنفسكم، هو أعلم بمن اتقى. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت، والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters who may be listening over receivers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been very kind to us, very merciful to us, very loving and caring to us. And if we really ponder and reflect over the various bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which rain upon us from the morning till the night, and in fact even when a person is sleeping, the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are raining upon this person. Sleep itself is a ni'mat and a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are within our own bodies are invaluable, are priceless. And it's only when a certain part of our body malfunctions or some kind of sickness sets in, then only do we realize the value of good health and the value of all these different organs in our bodies functioning so smoothly in such coordination. These are the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which we tend to overlook. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who continuously appreciate and express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, gratitude and gratefulness for any bounty is the usage of that bounty in accordance to the dictates of the giver of that bounty. The very eyes which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, usage of those eyes in accordance to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is true shukr and gratitude for that bounty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those. Nevertheless, the verses of the Quran Sharif which were recited, there is great profound meaning in these verses and many, many lessons which we may derive from these verses. And every verse of the Quran Sharif is nothing but hidayah, nothing but nur and lessons for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in these verses of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Najm, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is establishing His power, His kingdom, His authority, and Allah has the right to do that. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Allah ta'ala is the king of all kings. Allah ta'ala is the ruler of all kingdoms. تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءَ. Allah ta'ala is the one who gives kingdom, who gives power, who gives wealth to whomsoever He wishes. تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. And that very Allah has the capacity and capability of snatching away that kingdom, that authority, that position from any individual. So nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا. Whatever is in the heavens and the earth, this belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is the true malik, the true owner. Each and every one of us has some kind of ownership in this world. whether it is over our clothing, or over our homes, or over our vehicles. So this ownership is merely a temporary form of ownership. In reality, we are really using this and, so to say, renting it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is giving us an opportunity to use it. Otherwise, in reality, everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the purposes of avoiding confusion in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to express our ownership and our authority over the various things in this world, commodities, cars, home, furniture. Otherwise, there will be great confusion. We have heard that incident quoted by Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with Noor. So he says that there was an individual who went into a garden where there were some fruit trees. So he trespassed and he went into this garden and he started enjoying himself with the fruit and eating as many fruits as he wished to. Until eventually the owner of that garden became aware of this and confronted him and expressed his anger that why are you using and consuming all my fruits? You haven't even sought any permission. You are doing so without any permission. This is theft. So he said, where can this be theft? Don't you know that everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These trees belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These fruits belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if I belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm consuming that which is Allah ta'ala's. So this owner took a stick and he started giving him a good hiding. So he said, why are you beating me up? So he said, well, don't you know that everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My hands belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The stick belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala is giving you hiding. So there will be great confusion if there is no ownership in this world. But the truth of the matter is that the true owner, the real owner is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala gives us some kind of temporary ownership in this world. And that is why we should never become proud and arrogant over those things which we possess and own. We should always remind ourselves that in reality, the true owner is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one of the majalis of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahab rahmatullah alayhi, he had mentioned, and the theme of that entire majlis was that we are all living in timeshare apartments. A person may say, well, I have purchased this home, it belongs to me. And after much effort and sacrifice, getting a loan and so on, and I finally paid it off. And the person is very, very excited that now the house is mine, or this vehicle is mine. Whatever it is, this business is mine. So a person is excited. But in reality, he will only enjoy that home for a few years. Once he pays off the home, it may be another 5-10 years. We are not saying that to purchase a home is not permissible, not correct. But we are just trying to highlight the truth of the matter and the reality of our existence in this world. So when he passes away, then you find that his son will take over the home. And the son will live in that home for a few years. When he passes away, his son may take over, or he may sell that home to somebody else. So everybody is in reality living in timeshare apartments. We all have got a little time and we are all sharing that time out. A person will stay for a certain period of time, somebody else will stay afterwards for a certain period of time, that which Allah Ta'ala has ordained. So that is the reality and that is what we should always keep on reminding ourselves. And this will prevent us from becoming absorbed in the enjoyments of this world. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala mentions, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا. Allah ta'ala, everything in the world, in the earth and the heavens, in reality it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why in Surah Fatiha, we keep on reminding ourselves, مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Allah ta'ala is the owner of the day of judgment. Now a question may arise that, does that mean that Allah ta'ala is not the owner of things in this world? Mufassirin have mentioned that because in this world people do have ownership, although it's not true ownership in the sense of the word, but people do have ownership. However, when each and every person passes away, his ownership terminates. His ownership terminates when he passes away. And finally, when the day of Qiyamah sets in, then each and every individual on this earth will perish. There will be no one existent thereafter. And now the true owner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the true owner, He will be alive. Who hayyul la yamut. Allah ta'ala is ever living, He never dies. So Allah ta'ala will be existent. And on that day, then Allah ta'ala will announce, limanil mulkul yawm. That all kings, and all those people who thought they had some kind of ownership and authority, today who is the true king? Limanil mulkul yawm. To whom does kingdom belong today? And then Mufassireen have mentioned a period of time will elapse. And then Allah Ta'ala will then give the answer, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. That true ownership belongs to that Allah who is one and who is all powerful. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let that reality set within our hearts. So now why is Allah Ta'ala highlighting this? Allah Ta'ala then further mentions, لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. Allah Ta'ala, everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala gives people a sort of a rental period over different things. But why has Allah Ta'ala created this whole system? لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا. So that Allah Ta'ala can give recompense. And Allah Ta'ala can mete out justice for those people who have done evil deeds. Those people who have used their bounties and have used their health and their wealth in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then on the day of Qiyamah, the day of justice, Allah ta'ala will mete out the punishment to that person. وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. And on the other hand, those people who had done good deeds, they had used the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will reward them. Because Allah ta'ala is just and fair. We notice in this world that the oppressors, they walk scot-free. Sometimes a person has done such a terrible crime, he has perpetrated such a heinous crime, that he should actually, he doesn't even deserve to be on the surface of the earth. But we find that the person gets away with sometimes a mere 10-year sentence, 15-year sentence. In contrast to the crime, it is not fair at all. And sometimes on the other hand, we find that the person who is guilty of a crime, he turns out to be totally innocent in the court of law. And the person who is innocent, he becomes the criminal. So this is what happens in this world. But on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will mete out total justice to such an extent that it is mentioned in the riwayah that that sheep or ram which had horns, and it had used these horns to ram another sheep which was hornless. So on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala is so just and fair that Allah Ta'ala will reverse and turn the tables. That sheep which was hornless, Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will give it horns and then will instruct it to horn that sheep or ram that sheep that had done sort of that injustice in the world. So if this is the condition with regards to animals, can we imagine what will be the situation with regards to myself and you when we day and night commit injustice and oppression to those who are near and dear to us, to our wives, to our children, to our staff, to our employees, to those who are beneath us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and give us the himmat and courage to be fair and just. Remember, injustice is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never tolerates. Injustice is something, oppression is something which Allah never tolerates. Even if a disbeliever, if he commits injustice, then to Allah Ta'ala in this world will punish that individual. And history is proof to this fact. History is proof to this fact. In this country itself we see how Allah Ta'ala turned the tables. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَيَجَزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. And then Allah Ta'ala speaks about those people who are good, those people who do good deeds. الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ. These are those individuals who refrain and restrain themselves from major sins. Major sins, they restrain and refrain. They withhold themselves. وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. And all kinds of indecency and immorality, which has become the order of the day nowadays. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from this indecency and immorality. And we may say that we are safe, but many of us have got children, those beneath us, We need to be extremely vigilant with regards to this. That our children must not fall in this trap of indecency and immorality in terms of the cell phones. We have to be extremely, extremely cautious and vigilant. Never take it for granted. May Allah Ta'ala protect our youth. Some of them are squandering their energies and squandering their health in these kinds of indecencies and immoralities. Allah Ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ إِلَّا اللَّمَمِ. Yes, sometimes these individuals, they commit minor sins. Not intentionally, accidentally. Accidentally a person commits some kind of minor sins. So this is something, ulama-i-kiram have given different interpretations. One of them is that person who, he commits a sin and he realizes his mistake and he is not persistent. He is not persistent in that sin. So this will be regarded as al-lamam. Other mufassireen are of the opinion that it refers to minor sins. And there are different other many interpretations, but the most accepted interpretation is that it is referring to minor sins. If a person commits minor sins, so Allah Ta'ala will overlook it. With regards to major sins, then there, respected elders and brothers, there is only one solution. And that is turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what Allah Ta'ala mentions thereafter. Do not lose hope. A person, the thought may cross his mind, well, I am not of those people because I have committed major sins. So therefore, there is no hope for me. No, there is no such thing, respected elders and brothers. Allah Ta'ala then clearly mentions, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. And the Ashiqana tarjama of this, the translation which the Ashiqs of Allah Ta'ala give with regards to this particular portion of the verse, is that the ocean of the forgiveness of your Lord is vast. The ocean of Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness is vast. Subhanallah, what hope this gives sinners like myself and you. That if you look at the ocean, no matter how filthy a person may be, no matter how much of napaki and najasat and impurity, the person may be soaked in impurity from head to toe. But if you tell this person, don't lose hope, just dive, plunge yourself into that ocean. Forget going deep into the ocean. Just one wave from that ocean, if it hits your body, and then you will be completely purified, completely purified. Respected elders and brothers, the ocean of Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness is far, far more vast. Therefore, never lose hope. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shed those tears of nadama, those tears of regret and remorse. There is an incident which comes to mind with regards to Musa ala nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. That one individual had committed such sins and guna, and because of him, the rains were being withheld, and people were suffering, the animals were suffering, there was starvation. Musa alayhi salam gathered the entire community and they pleaded, salatul istisqa, they turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pleaded, begged for forgiveness. Nothing was happening. Allah Ta'ala then sent down wahi to Musa alayhi salam that there is a certain individual in the gathering, because of him, rain is not coming down. Please ask him to leave. Musa alayhi salam made the announcement, begging that person to please excuse himself and leave the gathering. Because of him, the entire congregation is being deprived. A period of time elapsed, nothing happened, nobody got up. But suddenly the clouds began gathering and it began to rain. Musa alayhi salam was confused, embarrassed. He said, Ya Allah, it was an embarrassing situation. I made the announcement, nobody got up and the rain came. Allah Ta'ala then revealed to Musa alayhi salam that that individual, when you made the announcement, he turned to me. Within his heart, he began speaking to me. He was begging me not to expose his sins, to conceal his sins. He said, Ya Allah, if I have to stand up, everybody will come to know what a sinful person I am. Therefore, Ya Allah, I'm begging you to forgive me, to purify me, and I make a firm resolution not to go back to that sin. And he made such a tawbah, Musa alayhi salam, or Musa, such a tawbah he made, that now I have sent the rain because of him. Now I have sent the rain because of him. Musa alayhi salam then turned to Allah. He said, Ya Allah, will you show me who this individual is? Allah Ta'ala then replied to Musa alayhi salam, O Musa, he had asked me to conceal his sins. If I now tell you, then I am exposing his sin. So this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. Never lose hope in the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we must never feel that, look, my sins are of such a nature that Allah ta'ala can never forgive me. Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi gives a beautiful example. He mentions that there was a huge ox and a little mosquito came and sat on the ox. And as it was about to leave, it came to the ear of that ox and he said, please, I ask for your forgiveness. I beg your pardon. That you know I have caused such kind of burden on your back. And I caused so much of taklif for the duration that I had stayed on your back. So please excuse me, forgive me. So Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah says that that ox will respond and say, that oh mosquito, I don't know when you came and I don't know when you went. It made no difference to me. When you came, when you went, I don't know. He says in a similar manner, if we feel that our sins and our guna is too much for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is the example he gives. It makes no difference to us. If the entire universe, لَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ وَإِنسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ كَانُوا عَلَىٰ أَفْجَرِ قَلْبِ رَجُلٍ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْكُمْ. Allah ta'ala mentions in a hadith a Qudsi, which is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if the first of you and the last of you, all of jinn and all of mankind, can all become the most wretched person in this world, the most sinful person in this world, this will not decrease my kingdom in the least. Allah Ta'ala does not need our piety. And our transgression and disobedience to Allah Ta'ala makes no difference. It is we who need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's we who need the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's we who cannot afford the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ocean of the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala is very, very vast. We need to take that one step. Take one step and Allah Ta'ala will take 10 steps towards us. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ وَاسِعُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala then further goes on to say, and to give us an antidote, that sometimes when a person changes his life, and sometimes a person gets certain good qualities or certain achievements that he acquires in his life, so then, as we say, the person starts becoming bloated and elated and becomes proud. So Allah Ta'ala, the gist of the ayah, time is running out, that Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not make a claim that you are very pious. Because Allah Ta'ala was aware of you when He created you from the earth. We were not even aware what our condition was. Allah Ta'ala knows our entire history from the time we were created. وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. And when you were a fetus in the womb of your mother, Allah was fully aware of you. Not even the mother herself knows what is happening within her womb. But Allah Ta'ala was fully aware of. Our entire history is before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What claim can we really make? Whatever we have, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever achievement we have, whether it is in the form of degrees, whether it is in the form of wealth, whether it is in the form of status and honor, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Allah Ta'ala is the one who really knows who has taqwa in the true sense of the word. The person, taqwa is such a quality, this Allah consciousness, this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this awareness that Allah ta'ala is watching me, jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se, that which you do in secrecy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of it. The person who has this consciousness within him, Allah knows who that person is. And that is why this is one missing ingredient which we all have in our lives. This ikhlas and this taqwa, this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Every action only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether we get some kind of acknowledgement or not, that should be no. That should be just a mere bounty. If a person doesn't acknowledge our achievements, so we haven't done this good deed for any acknowledgements. We have done it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we're going to do it for acknowledgement, then unfortunately, respected elders and brothers, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will then respond to that person that you did this action for acknowledgement and for name and fame. You got your name and fame in this world. Don't come and collect anything in this, in Akhirat. May Allah Ta'ala protect us and give us ikhlas and taqwa. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala alleviate the suffering of the entire ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our good deeds and give us the himmat and courage to lead our lives in the pleasure and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi.